Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 8:03 a.m. on a Thursday morning. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. My name is Mike. He's Bo. He's Dylan. And we're going to welcome in Rusty Manziel, the publisher. I'm not even reading all this crap, Rusty.
Don't read all that.
Dogs HQ. That's all you need to know.
I was second team all regions a senior. That's the way you need to introduce me.
Our
second
conversation team all region. With Rusty brought you by Orchard, the smart, 90. Fast, hassle-free way to buy and sell your home. He's also a member of the Steakhouse, but he's kind enough to give us one segment each and every week. I told Steak it's like a trade. I do Mondays.
I hear Monday you. I listen. I always listen.
Yeah, you get Drew, and we get Rusty for a Thursday.
They're always trying to talk you in that oven. I'm like, this dude's ready to go to the damn house. You can stay if you want. You're like,
sometime I'm
hey, and then they come back and they're like, all right, we're back with Drew. I'm like, this man's going to the damn house, Steak.
Sometimes I'm like, man, I could be a little more chatty. Other times I'm like, dude, I'm out.
Yep.
Especially he got me on the morning after we slept here on the air mattresses.
He ain't getting you Monday.
I was like, bro, I'm out.
He ain't getting you Monday morning.
No, he'll get him Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That'll be fine. We get an extra hour. Reminder to Falcons fans, that game starts at 7:20 on Monday.
Yeah, that extra hour don't really do it.
It'll be better than not. It'll be better than the alternative.
Yeah, it just makes you even more sleepy.
I want to talk to Rusty about this Auburn-Oklahoma game. I just brought this up to you during
Auburn, the break. Auburn-Georgia?
I'm sorry. Auburn-Georgia. I just looked up and saw an Oklahoma thing.
Yeah.
Auburn-Georgia this weekend. And so the position group thing. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I was listening to some guys on the Cover 3 podcast, and they were talking about which positions go the way of Auburn and which position groups go the way of Georgia. It's a fascinating conversation because I think when you look at it, anybody looks at it and says, well, Georgia's just way better than Auburn. Mm. But I think there are certain position groups, possibly the offensive line with the injuries, that go Auburn's way.
Yeah.
It's just – I just wonder which is going to break first. Are we going to see Auburn's quarterback hold on to the ball long enough for Georgia's pass rushers to get there? That's the question for me going into this game.
And they've had 2 weeks to prepare. You look at that, Auburn's giving up the most sacks, and, you know, for whatever reason, and Georgia's had kind of the least amount of sacks and what's going to give there. I really personally think it's going to come down to a couple things. And if I'm Georgia perspective, scared to death of Eric Singleton. Twice he's got into Georgia. I think he's 191 yards in 2 games against Georgia from Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Cam Coleman is a damn alien. I'm telling you right now, I don't know that I would take a wide receiver over him in SEC. This dude is bad. I don't know. I hope this ain't the week they go Cam Coleman getting 12 targets. I don't give a damn.
Well, he almost took over that Oklahoma game now.
I'm telling you, man, Cam Coleman is he's different. I've seen him in high school. If you're down from Phoenix City Central, this guy's different.
I think the question for me is, and I think you're the perfect person to answer this, if you're Kirby, do you say, and obviously Glenn Schumann's taken, I think, some unfair heat lately. I know that first half against Alabama was bad, but the second half was very good. You completely shut them down
They went man-to-man.
Yeah.
They trusted the coverage a little bit.
Well, look, I don't know what number he is, but number one for Georgia, I can never remember his name.
Ellis Robinson.
He's got some growing up to do in a lot of ways.
Yep.
The question, though, I want to get to before I dance around everything else is, do you just come with four with Jackson Arnold and say, look, you're going to pat that ball, you hold the ball too long, you're indecisive, I'm going to let you beat yourself in your own head? Because to me, his strength is letting him get out of the pocket and move around because he's going to gain some yardage. He can move.
Mm-hmm.
So do I let you sit in that pocket and dance around and then just bottle you up, or do I come at you and let you get elusive?
Well, the question there is, do you think you can cover? Do you think you can cover Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman for that long? And Malcolm Simmons, another good wide receiver they got too. So, you know, obviously you're going to mix those things up. Georgia, I think, has played a different mixture. This kid, he's not Jalen Milroe, okay? I'm not trying to say that, but he will hurt you with his legs, and that kind of what he wants to do. And I think Georgia came after Jalen Milroe in Tuscaloosa last year, and it was too late when they went back to the zone and tried to play him the way they did the year before. Well, this year they play Bama, and they play zone, and then they had to go man-to-man in the second half. They put DeMelo Jones, who hasn't played. They put DeMelo Jones in, and the game was different in the second half. They trusted their coverage. So, to me, it's going to be the quicker adjustment, how you're going to play him and how are things rolling. I think if Georgia can run the football, it changes the whole game. They've been successful running the football. The bigger question, Mike, is I know they listed him as questionable last night. I'm not sure Monroe Freeland's going to play, and it's so damn unfortunate because he's had a great year. Nobody talks about the left tackle 57 at Georgia. You know why? Because he's handling business.
I was going to say, that's a good thing.
When you don't mention 57, 100%. He is handling business. And I saw him Saturday leaving the field, man. When you see that boot and you see that kind of limp, I was like, damn, man. But he got – it's so bad. Mike, I know it's an offensive lineman's worst nightmare. You're engaged.
Oh, dude.
And you're locked up, and you, all of a sudden you're looking at the sky because you got rolled up
My brother.
You know what I mean? It's
I can't tell you how many times leading up to the time where I broke my ankle doing that.
Yes.
How many times leading up to that where I would look down at my foot and just make sure it's in the right place. Dude, then that final time, it was not. And I was like, that's not good.
You're engaged. Next thing you know, you look at the roof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know who was, as a matter of fact, you know who it was that caused mine?
Who?
And it was in practice, Geno Atkins.
Oh, my damn.
Yeah, man. That was great. And I love Geno. Obviously, good player. Played in the Senior Bowl with him. Mm. Good player. I attempted yesterday, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because I attempted yesterday to speak Kirby-nese.
Yeah.
He was addressing the Jesse Palmer stuff.
There's been a lot of discussion.
Have that where he takes a gasp? Yeah. that's a him going, I'm not going to go in on Jesse.
Yeah.
I'm just going to focus back on my squad.
Yeah. You know, I would be interested in Kirby 5 years ago answering that. He is very polished now into what he does. And, you know, it's tough because Jesse Palmer's doing a job, but you also don't know any of the damn calls. You don't know anything that's going on there. He's Jesse Palmer, obviously. I like Jesse Palmer.
Sure.
I think Jesse Palmer, Greg Olsen, two guys that I lock in on when I watch.
I agree with that.
I love Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I do too. Jesse Palmer talks too much.
But I will tell you, he gives a lot more X and O stuff than some people that they're in this business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does talk a lot, but I get that. Kirby was about to kind of say something to that reporter.
Exactly.
But he didn't.
Exactly. And that was, I told him yesterday, I said, that little gasp of air, he was like, let me suck that one back in.
Somebody hit me up and said, that's how Kirby talks. And I said, yeah, because Kirby bites his tongue a lot, probably. Yeah.
100%. I love it.
Kirby's a lot different, you know, in the year 10.
Well.
Pretty calculated.
He's calculated. I felt like after that first national title, there's no doubt there's pressure, and there's even more pressure when you're the returning home, right, to take your program to the promised land that it hasn't really been in a long time. And he did it, and so after 21, it kind of relieved, and he did repeat it in 22.
Did you see his buyout yesterday?
What is his buyout?
It's $105 million.
I was going to say, there was a report on CBSSports.com about it.
A little different when you got $105 to say, hey, God, never come back again.
That'll shut up some people on Message Boards, Message Boards Genius or whatever they call it. Hey, I want to go away from Georgia because this is something.
And by the way, I picked Florida last week.
Well, man, that's where
I want to bring that up.
That's where I want to go.
Yep.
Dallas Wilson.
He's a dude, man.
He goes to Oregon. He commits. He's there for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out.
Yep.
Goes to Gainesville. And so I think he got lost in the fray. Mm-hmm. He could be the most important recruit in that class because he completely changed Florida's offense. Fernell Brown's a hell of a player at receiver. Trey Wilson's a disappointment because he doesn't stay on the field.
I don't understand Trey Wilson, but go ahead.
I don't think he loves the game. I don't know that, but he just – guys find a way to be on the field.
Yep.
He's never on it. Okay? The running game was different because you then had two big-time targets to go to in Brown and Wilson.
They gave him the ball, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Jaden Ball.
No kidding, right?
They lathered him up.
Yeah, you almost got me to cuss. But like, no kidding. But for the first time in a long time, when they're running the ball on first down and now it became predictable and they brought that safety in the box and they left them basically man coverage, mm-hmm. Billy Napier's testicular fortitude dropped and he goes, put the kid up the bat. And he manhandled a good Texas secondary that was very physical with Jeremiah Smith. Is he a guy that can completely change the way that we look at Florida's offense?
I can dig in the next 5 minutes on Florida and Texas, but I can end this conversation in about 60 seconds. For whatever reason, it hasn't clicked with Florida. They got dudes. It did Saturday. I'm not sure how tough Texas is in the box.
Wow.
I'm not sure Texas wants to get in a phone booth and absolutely trade blows with a Georgia, with an Alabama, even a Florida there. They've got all this flashy stuff, and they've got guys that can absolutely run, and they got secondary guys and quarterback. That's another discussion.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Texas wants to absolutely get in there and let's get after it. I don't know. I haven't seen a game where I go, Texas took that thing over, and they ran it down their damn throat.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. Their offensive line's been a disappointment. They lost a lot of talent from last year's O-line.
They did.
A disappointment. One guy I do want to ask you about, because it's been thrown around a lot, because they're playing Bam this weekend, is Missouri running back Ahmad Hardy.
Dude.
Now,
yards after contact, man.
Here's what I want to ask you about, because I think he's very interesting. This guy's out of Mississippi. What's the word? Oma, Mississippi. Yeah. All right, goes to Louisiana Monroe. Just not a very heralded recruit. Now the guy's like in Heisman conversations.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen it? Because you follow recruiting more than anybody. How many times have you seen that, like in this portal era, where you're like, good for that guy?
Well, the past different now. If not, if you're that kid, you're hoping that somebody sees you at Louisiana Monroe.
Right.
You're hoping. Now the path's a lot different. I mean, look at Cam Ward.
It would have been interesting to see like Randy Moss in this era where he ends up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but Randy Moss was a human highlight film in high school. Everybody knew about him. This guy, obviously, I didn't hear about this guy until about 4 weeks ago.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
That's what I wanted
didn't
to
have
know.
A clue. Didn't have a clue. And I tell you, the most impressive thing about him is yards after contact.
Yeah.
And the first, you know, you have a D tackle to hit him in the thighs one-on-one, and he breaks it, and he gets 20. I heard you talking about Falcons this weekend and wide zone. I have watched Missouri play under Drinkwitz twice in Athens. And after I left that game, I understand what wide zone is.
Mm.
And you're gonna get that this weekend. Good. They do. That's they have wide zone written from what I understand in every offensive room on the walls. What they want you, even the wide receivers.
Come on.
You see that in the room, and you understand we're not trying to say who we're not. We're going to run wide zone here. We're not. Can you stop it?
Yeah.
And our linemen are gonna have to be able to block it.
Yeah.
So
they run the wide zone that's like Mike Shanahan style, where like there's a tight end attached on the front.
Yeah.
You know, and they really, really have the threat of always breaking outside.
I picked Florida last week. I'm telling you, Mike. That's a worrisome game, man.
Okay.
That's a worrisome game.
Part of it's that kickoff time.
I haven't picked Missouri, but I'm telling you, and I'll be honest with you, Georgia's got all they want. You look at the Vegas odds on that, and I'll tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think it's funny, and we brought this up earlier in the week or yesterday, that those spreads are the same in those two games with Georgia on the road at Auburn and Bama on the road at Missouri.
Somebody told me 2010 that Bama – were you on that team?
No.
So they beat the brakes off Florida.
Yes, they did. I was at that game.
They had two huge wins in a row. Then they go to South Carolina and get into that mess over
there. Play the next, Stephen Garcia.
Yes. So they're kind of like, is this going to be that kind of scenario where you're coming off, you got your chest out a little bit, you beat Georgia, you beat Vandy, two games where you're sky high, and you got to get on a damn plane, and you got to play in Columbia, Missouri at 11 a.m.
Well, that's what we were talking about that with Dylan, and we were talking about somebody asked a question. I think Mike asked a question about which scenario is harder to play in, and I said there's nothing as hard as playing in a sleepy game at 11 a.m. Central Time when you're used to playing. You just played in a 3:30 game, and the week before you played at in Athens in a night game.
From talking to players, and I remember talking to Tate Ratledge about this one time, they say it's miserable to sit around a hotel all day long.
It is.
That's 7 o'clock. You're off
the middle window is where it's at.
Yeah, 3:30.
Yeah,
the 3:30. It's a routine.
And we were talking about Monday Night Football about this as well. It stinks. I know you go on the road with them, Bo. It stinks just from your perspective. It stinks sitting around a hotel for Monday Night Football.
You have enough time to do something, but not enough time to do anything worth doing.
I am such a sports geek nerd. One of the things I would love to sit down with a boxer is how do you prepare to be at your best at 10 o'clock at night?
You know what they talk about? That's a good question. You know what I've heard, and this is a really interesting point, is a lot of those guys, Floyd Mayweather used to do this. Floyd Mayweather would train at night.
Would have to.
So his training would lead up, and whenever he would spar or whatever, it would be at like whatever time,
like 8 p.m.
the bell would ring at.
Western Central.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Mountain time.
He would be training basically.
One of the damn ones.
It's West Coast in Vegas. But he would always train based on the time of the fight would be. And so it's amazing how they, you know, it's a really good thought process. But you can't do that in football because you're in every time zone and it fluctuates. It goes back and forth.
Yeah. We do, unfortunately, have to go to break. Rusty, appreciate you hanging out, as always.
I got a lot of texts about the beer conversation. We'll have that another day.
Well, okay.
Save that segment.
Stick around. And we'll
yeah.
forget Steak can talk by himself.
Oh, boy.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. When we come back, we're going to talk more about those Atlanta Falcons. Zach Robinson, last week, moved down to the field. Is those changes here to stay? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Stick with us. Sports Radio 92.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A game. Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. It's the morning shift. Welcome back in. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. Dylan playing the tunes. And we're getting ready to talk a little bit more about the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, look, tomorrow morning, man. Me, you, Gordon, Allie's on the assignment.
Yeah.
And which is vacation.
Like the Bahamas or something. I don't know.
I mean, don't say something where she's at.
Well, she's not.
She could be sitting at home. You never know. Anyways, Friday morning tomorrow, we'll be in the morning shift. I sat at home on vacation. For a special broadcast at Publix Buckhead Landing here in Atlanta, come down and join the crew while you pick up your tailgating supplies for this weekend's football action. It's all brought to you by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix. That's Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. at Publix in Buckhead Landing. Me, Mike, and our buddy Gordon Robinson will be there live from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I might pick up some more country-style ribs. Dude, every time I go to Publix, like, I swear they have those. Like, you know how they all package that stuff fresh every day?
Yep.
And it's literally the country style rib. I can't help it. I just buy them. I can't help. I don't know why. It's like crack for me. I just buy it every time.
We got to get into this Falcons conversation. Dylan, I would say I'm so mad at you right now. Yeah, you're about to catch it. Well, dude, this whole thing yesterday where I asked you on which one Wednesday who would win a three-point contest, Rusty just walked out of here talking so much trash.
Oh.
He's like, man, this guy tested your gangster yesterday, said you couldn't hit a three.
I mean, we could do this. I mean, here's the place we can go.
Here's the thing. I'm not confident that I would win the three-point contest, but my form, like where you just told me I straight up look like I couldn't shoot, that's a problem. Okay, that's a problem.
You don't.
You know, his cousin played college ball, man.
I had two cousins.
Did he really?
College basketball, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was a good college basketball player.
So maybe you learned a little something from them. Okay.
Both of them. I don't know what conference it was, but they were all conference.
I just don't know the other one.
Yeah.
I only know.
They're very similar.
I only know.
Mike,
I can't imagine two things in one room.
Since you brought this up real quick, like, can you give me a quick, like, can you show me what your shooting form looks like?
Nobody can see this. This doesn't work for radio.
I know. I just wanted to see it.
Yeah, he looks like he can't shoot. You're right.
No doubt about it.
It didn't look as bad as I thought it would.
Yeah. Look, I can hoop.
Hey,
it's all good.
I know we want to talk about Zach Robinson, but can I go off script for like 30 seconds?
I know you will either way.
Somebody threw out this perfect realignment for college football, and it's basically making a bunch more conferences. And they did the old Big 8. They did a new Big 10. They did the SEC. The SEC, of course, all I want to touch on. They took out some teams. Alabama, the teams are in there. Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Miss State, Florida, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. If that was just the SEC, could you live in that world?
Say it one more time. Run back through it.
Alabama, LSU.
Okay.
Auburn, Miss State, Florida, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, and Kentucky and Vanderbilt. If that was what the SEC looked like because of a realignment, they took South Carolina and threw them in the ACC. They took Arkansas and threw them in what would be the Southwest Conference. They took A&M and Texas there as well.
So how many teams did that leave?
I don't know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. It's just a 12-team conference. No, it's a 10-team conference.
I think I could live with that.
I love it.
Yeah, I could, like it.
Have it.
Well, I mean, and I played in a 12-team SEC.
Go to two non-conference games a year, 10 conference games. Everybody plays everybody every year.
Why do we got to keep expanding? I just don't like it. I don't get it. I don't like it. It is what it is. We do. All right. So we're finally going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons because we've been talking about it for just a minute now. I do want to play this audio. Zach Robinson obviously moved down to the field a couple of weeks ago. Raheem Morris was asked about this coaching shuffle with T.J. Yates and Zach Robinson that helped this team get the dub.
You know, he gave great direction, you know, last week. He was able to go out there and be able to help as much as he possibly can. I think Zach being able to be on the field, having fun, the communication with those guys and the dialogue across the board from receivers to quarterbacks to O-line to running backs to everybody, all hands on deck. Tight ends played really well, exceptional last week. All those guys being able to communicate that way, I thought was a higher level. I thought we did a better job last week from a coach's standpoint being on the grass. And I think the players responded the right way. So, like, I'm really fired up what TJ brings every single day, wherever he is. You know, we're fortunate enough to be able to name him pass game coordinator, you know, at the beginning of the season or sometime in the offseason for a reason. You know, he brings tremendous value to everything that we do, and we're very appreciative that we have him.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of the fact that he moved down to the field. I wasn't sure what to expect. I told you I never had a coordinator that was on the field. With the couple, you know, the few coordinators I had at Bama, I had three at Bama and two with the Falcons. Never had a coordinator that was down on the field. But it seems to make a lot of sense in this scenario where you have a young quarterback and really, let's call it what it is, you brought this up earlier, a young offensive coordinator, young in the coaching game. I think for a lot of different reasons, it worked. Do you think that this is a formula with him being on the field that we're going to continue to talk about throughout the year as being something that works? Or do you think that there's going to be a point 5 games into it where there's a coverage disguise and we didn't see the changes they were making and you're like, man, what would have happened if he would have been upstairs?
I don't know, man. I never thought that we would be, and I'm going to answer it, but the first thing that comes to mind is I don't know. It's hard to say because I never thought I'd tell you that we would break down the running back's heels in the pistol formation, but apparently there we were. One really horrific game, and we're, you know, making up these false narratives about why the offense is failing. You can say that, but look, at what if they're disguising coverages? You first off, some point Michael is going to have to understand what they're doing. Zach's going to see guys moving. He remember what he's doing now is where he's standing. Most of the time, these offensive coordinators, they're standing with their back to the end zone. Their back is where the quarterback's back. They're both facing the same way. So he's standing behind the play, in other words, right? And he's looking at the alignment that he's looking as much as he can at what the defense is doing. But you also got guys in the booth. You got guys up there, and you've if Zach Robinson is the guy I think he is, he's telling them, hey, we saw this on film. I want you to look at this. I want you to be looking at what, you know, if they like to do this and you're going to disguise this, tell me what you're seeing. That's why he has a headset on from the booth with him down there. There's somebody up there that's telling him, hey, they're doing this with their secondary. This safety is waiting till about 7. We have gotten a tendency of hiking the ball at this point with the play clock, and I don't think it's this. I don't know if it's this in depth. He's leaking down at the last minute or the last second. We've got to account for that. Like Zach Robinson's not alone in this situation. He's got TJ down there with him who's looking at this kind of stuff too. And Doug Williams' kid DJ is looking at this. So DJ Williams, the quarterback's coach, is looking at these things. So it's not all on him. It's on him to have his guys looking for things.
Yeah.
But he can't be the only guy looking.
Yeah, he can't be. And that's where KJ Black, Tim Bourbonich, guys like that come into the fold. I want to talk about those guys more on the other side of the break when we get back. Just a reminder, with Atlanta United season winding down, be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason has you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer, Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day on the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. We will continue that conversation about the booth. We're also going to hit Life Squid.
NASCAR has kind of – they went on the Dale Jr. Download, and was it Steve O'Donnell, I believe is his name?
Yeah.
He's kind of the guy that makes the changes, and they hinted at, not so subtly, that there's changes coming to the format. I want to get into those with you because I think you and I are going to have a nice little conversation about what we like and don't like next morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 842 here on the morning shift. Mike, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you here on a Thursday morning. A little overcast out there, but I know the temperatures are a little bit lower today. I got the pullover on. Feels pretty good. Bo's always got a pullover on. Dylan, we're going to have to correct some things, man. I got people coming at me on Twitter. They think that my shooting form's all off. I just want to tell people out there, this man's never seen me shoot a basketball. I'm questioning everything. I'm questioning my shoes. What about me looks like I can't shoot? I don't know what it is, but I'm starting to question my entire look. So
it's kind of an elitist.
Got to be corrected.
It's kind of an elitist view. You know, Dylan views himself elite as a basketball player, and so therefore he's now looking down on others. And
Dylan's going to have an identity crisis when I take him to the court and absolutely outjay his man. He's going to have an identity crisis.
Mike, you don't want that smoke, bro. We've talked about your feet already. Your feet and ankles have been through it, dog. I don't want
to
send you back down that road, big fella.
I got nothing to lose here, my friend.
I mean, I ain't ducking no smoke, but I'll say what you said back in the day. You don't want
to
smoke.
You don't want to smoke.
But you can get it.
But you can get it. Fair enough, man. Fair enough. All right, let's finish up a lot of this Falcons conversation we've been having throughout the day, man. And, you know, I believe they are practicing today. It is game week, fully engaged game week. And we will have sound from out there tomorrow and be able to really kind of dive back into this. And the good thing is tomorrow is a Falcons Friday, but then you got that bonus game day on Monday that we'll be able to really get into the X's and O's of, you know, what Josh Allen, you know, presents as a quarterback, what James Cook presents as a running back, and a lot more of the conversation to come. Now, we talked about this a number of times about the new wrinkles to be expected and some of the other things that are going on within this offense. Raheem Morris did talk about Drake London and how he's effective really in any role they want to utilize him.
I don't know if he's just an effective slot receiver. I think he's just effective wideout. So you want to move him around for different reasons, right? He's able to go in there. He's an intimidating force in the run game to be able to block for us, to be able to, you know, get body on body and get yards for Bijan. He's able to go in there and absolutely do all of his cuts that he can have with different areas on the field. He's able to go on the outside and win one-on-one. He's just a big dog receiver. Like, we like to put him in there and do different things, and like to put him on the outside to do different things. And he's one of those guys you want to move around and try to get as many places as you can.
I don't want to get a T-shirt with that written on it. He's just a big dog receiver.
Well, I don't know who was talking about it. It was somebody on this radio station. It was like, hey, they thought that Drake wasn't being used in the same way that he was last year. And I actually think there's truth to that. It might have been Carl and Mike. I really can't remember. But I thought there was some truth to that because week one, he wasn't used in the same way. He was used in the red area a little bit like that. But remember, you were missing Darnell.
Right.
And so you needed something different from Drake.
Yes.
And
makes sense.
In week two, he was used that way, though. Go look at the big catch where he's in like a slot. He runs a slot like route, right? Where he kind of runs.
Yeah,
him and Kyle on the same side, and they both the depth of their routes are different. But as soon as Kyle saw that Drake had caught it, he starts blocking. It was like a second and like 16.
Yeah.
And he breaks it for like 18 yards, gets the first down. That was the drive where they ended up letting Algier score at the very end, and yep, that sprung that drive. There he is being used that way.
Yeah.
Carolina, burn it. I am at the point now with that Carolina game where I don't even remember most of what happened.
Wow.
Other than it sucked.
Already flushed it.
Yeah, I flushed it.
Okay.
And then against Washington, Drake kind of did it all. A court in kind of going in line with what Raheem said. Can I give you though something of why you don't need him as much this year in that slot?
Wow!
Because Kyle Pitts is being exactly what you need.
It's a great point,
and
actually,
you can't complain about Drake's usage and not in the slot. I'm not saying you're complaining. I'm just saying you can't be like, well, why aren't we getting that? Because Kyle Pitts has given you that, and he didn't give you that last year. And Bijan has given you more of that this year than you got from him last year. So other guys are stepping up and taking that off of Drake, and there's not as much on him. Yet Drake's still giving you 100-yard games like he did last time out.
Yeah. I want to touch on that for a minute, but I do want to play this cut. Raheem was updating everybody on Darnell Mooney and Kadarius Hodge this week.
Yeah, well, Mooney, okay, so Mooney, we'll get more information as the week goes. Same thing as Hodge, letting those guys go. Obviously, Mooney came out of that game, our last one, had the bye week. Obviously, we'll get more information on him when we start practicing and some of those different things, and the same with Hodge. Hodge will be doing some things with us, you know, in practice, but we'll get a better feel for those guys as we move towards the week.
It's important to talk about Darnell Mooney, and here's the question I have, because I think you make a phenomenal point about the usage of Drake London when Darnell Mooney is in the lineup versus when he's out of the lineup. We've talked about that Darnell Mooney coming in last year allowed Drake London to kind of be who he needed to be in his own game. He's not trying to be the outside receiver most of the time. The question I have, and this is something I hope we get answered in the coming weeks, and a lot of it has to do with Darnell's health. Is there room for both Darnell and Kyle to have 1,000-yard seasons in this offense? Darnell gets close last year. Kyle's had one before.
There's not enough.
If you're going to use Bijan as a receiver out of the backfield the way we all believe he should be used, and if Drake London's still going to get his yardage, it's hard for me because we've focused a lot on Darnell over the last couple weeks. What's wrong with Darnell? Is he still injured? Is there a fracture in the relationship with Michael Penix? Are they out of sequence? Do we know how to utilize him? You bring up a good point, man. With Kyle Pitts playing the way he is, maybe there is a utilization factor where it's like Darnell might just be a 3-catches-per-game kind of guy if Kyle Pitts is putting up the numbers he has.
Kyle Pitts has 205 yards. He had 602 last season. So in four games, he's already got 205 yards. No, but it's just not about Kyle. I mean, Bijan already has – I think Bijan has 270 yards receiving. How many did he have last year? That's the question.
500.
I think so. I think it
Something
was right
like
around
that.
There.
Yep.
So he's already ahead of schedule. He had last season receiving yards. He had 584. That's wrong. That's how many. He had 431.
We'll figure it out.
He had 431. He's got 270 now. He's ahead. So here's the deal. Now, part of that's because Darnell's been out. But what I'm telling you is someone is going to have less yardage. It's automatically going to be Darnell Mooney this year because he's missed a game. He missed half of another game. And he hasn't really been overly productive. I mean, you know, you look at him now and he's only got 79 yards receiving this year season. So he's been less. But what I will tell you is, though, is that there's only one guy really on this receiving core that can – they all can do it all, but in the same game, like Darnell comes in and you're like, all right, that's going to be my deep guy. Drake's going to be my kind of everything guy, Kyle Pitt as far as doing it all. And Kyle Pitts is predominantly the biggest way to use Kyle Pitts. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think the best way to use him is get the ball in his hands while he's on the move. I don't need him, and I know it sounds silly, but I'm talking about, like, you know, little drag routes, crossing routes, you know, the little slants. Like, yeah. I don't need him running go routes, and I don't need him running comeback routes constantly. I think if you want to showcase him, it's hitting him on the run.
Yeah, I think I used to have a coach that used to call those flash and go guys, right? He's a flash and go. Like, he's going to run a quick slant and try to hit him on the run with a quick slant. He's going to, just like his touchdown, he's going to flash on the defensive end, and he's going to get into the flat.
That's where he's the best.
That kind of thing, a flash and go guy. Not necessarily a deep threat, but a flash and go guy or a burner across the middle, much in the way you would say, like, I'm trying to think of a receiver that kind of fits that mold, like a Zay Flowers maybe. Yeah. Kind of one of those people where they're going to, like, fake a screen to him and then get him going across the middle, and he's going to outrun a lot of people.
Let him run away from the linebacker or maybe the safety that's come down to cover him, and then when a DB tries to come up on him, let him run over that guy. Like, I think that's where he could really make a lot of hay.
I agree.
Anyway,
I agree.
Let's hit it, divesting, Dylan. Reorganize that pantry. So I got all my Baron Burton's products in one little area of the shelf now. The breakfast sauce, the breakfast sauce too, the everyday hot sauce, and obviously the W sauce regular and fire shower. So now it's all in one area. Even the big bottles. All right. We are going to talk sports if you consider NASCAR a sport. Personally, I do. What is sports? Athletes competing. That's what NASCAR is. Mm. And they're athletes.
At the highest level.
Steve O'Donnell went on the Dell Jr. Download. Nothing's going to be announced about changes to the sport before the end of the season. However, they're going to add 750 horse. They're going to increase the 750 horsepower at every track and under a mile and a half. Does that count mile and a half, or has it be under?
I think it's got to be under.
Okay.
And road courses, I believe.
Most people think that is a lot about nothing because you're not really going super fast there.
Well, let me just let everybody in. You currently are at 670 horsepower. The cars that everybody remembers, the nostalgic cars that everybody remembers, were like 850 or 900. Like, a lot more horsepower. And then they cut them down for safety reasons, trying to keep the car from going airborne, all the other stuff. They cut it way, way down, got to put a lot more drag on these cars. It's made them more aero-dependent, and it's forced, you know, wind tunnel time and everything else. It's kind of taken the raw feeling away from the drivers and fans. And so I think a lot of people are rejoicing that you are adding 80 horsepower back into the cars of these tracks.
My favorite thing is the guy on Twitter who has a engine hanging from a tree in the front yard with chains. Mechanic. Yeah, it's like, it should be 1,000. I ain't going to hurt the aero. They're idiots. And it's like, yeah, they've done thousands upon thousands of hours of research on this. Mm-hmm. But the guy with the tree hanging from the engine hanging from his tree is going to tell you what they should do. Love it. Secondly, they're going to change the current playoff system. The quote was, paraphrasing is, the current playoffs potentially hurt star power. I think there's some truth to that. I think the better thing is when he says, we don't like it about how someone talks after the first race, which is Daytona 500, it's playoffs already.
Yeah.
Because of the win. So it sounds like they're going to get a format where they take away the automatic win, making the playoffs, but still make wins count more while going back and making the playoff structure more reliant on consistency.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Let's just catch people up to date that don't understand the NASCAR system. So if you win any race, you're automatically in the playoffs. The playoffs are what, 12 races long, 10 races long, something along those lines. I think it's 10.
Yeah.
You get 26 races to win one, and then if you win one, you're automatically in the playoffs. If there's not 16 winners, which that's how many cars go to the playoffs, then you take the highest points total. Then you get a round of three, a round of three, a round of three, and then four champion drivers make one race in Phoenix, and whoever finishes on top in that one race wins the championship. I hate the format for two different reasons. I hate the winning you're in. I think it's ridiculous, and I say that as an SVG fan who is going to win road courses at least once a year, but he needs to finish better on the ovals if he's going to be a playoff driver. And I also hate the finale. I think that people look at it and they're trying to create this drama of having four drivers in one race, but it's ridiculous. You're going to go to one racetrack where we all know that some race car drivers are better at race at certain racetracks than others. So they're going to have a hand up. Give me a three-race finale where you hit Martinsville, Kansas, or Vegas, and, you know, whatever. You can go back to Phoenix.
Do we need a super speedway in there?
Not in the final round.
To showcase every different style other than road course.
Not in the final round, I don't think so. I don't think in the final round that we need that. We've got, you know, if you count Echo Park, our friends at Echo Park, we've now got six super speedways on the schedule. I'm good on that. I don't need those in the final round. Now, if you want to put Echo Park in the first round of the playoffs, sign me up.
Well,
good stuff.
As much as I want that, I don't want that because the playoffs start during football season, and we can't go and do what we do. So let's keep Echo Park maybe in like June or July.
Hey, I want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic.
That's my tournament.
Presented by Finley Roofing is coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is your chance to sign up. Go to 92.9thegame.com and click the events link. But do it now, because foursomes are going quickly. That's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. And a reminder, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back with you at 6 a.m. in the morning live from Publix in Buckhead. The Steakhouse is up next with Rusty Menzel. Until then, make sure you
divest when you need to and invest when you need to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.